On this crazy edition from the Cheap Seats, Ryan and I bring a tumultuous day in Iowa City to a close, and we get ready for the NCAA tournament. From the Cheap Seats is only heard on KRUI.
You are now listening to the most innovative sports talk show the world has to offer. From the Cheap Seats is heard exclusively on 89.7 KRUI. Now here are your hosts, Ryan Wallace and Will Marchneau.
As you always give her the lovely intro, thank you. We should also state that she's killing us right now in Bracket Challenge.
Welcome to From the Cheap Seats. Yes. Alongside my co-host Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchneau. We're bringing you yet again another tumultuous day here in Iowa City. We'll bring you the Iowa men's basketball saga later because here we are much obliged to the small sports here at the University of Iowa. We have not forgotten those today, and we will talk about them. But quickly, some announcements. If you'd like to email us at any point in time during the show, during the week, during the month, or even during the year, please feel free to email us at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. Once again, that's fromthecheapseats, all one word, at gmail.com.
And we apologize for all the technical difficulties we've been having with the shows in the past. As we look at things, hopefully the show's recording right now, so those of you who do like to listen to the podcast as well,
right.
We're going to get that up. Do visit our website.
Trial.com, number one. Yeah. On What's Hot.
We've fallen off. We've fallen off because we didn't get a show up last week.
No, I actually looked at it 2 days ago. We were number
one. Okay, well, I looked at today. We fluctuate, but we're right at the top usually. So regardless.
Dominating Trial.
Definitely check out our website, KRUI cheapseats.blogspot.com. You can check out all our podcasts. We have links to our filled out NCAA and NIT brackets. We got all kinds of good stuff.
Which, by the way, is not going well for either of us.
The NIT, we're doing okay as far as the NCAA.
But we knew that was going to happen.
We knew that. And nobody ever does fantastic.
Well, so does anyone ever do anything for that bracket? So... we went ahead
and
filled that out.
Oh, as far as NIT? No, we're like the only people, I think,
in the country. Yeah.
Yeah, that filled out an NIT bracket.
Clearly, you and me are 1 and 2 in the NIT standings for the MasterCard NIT Challenge, Bracket Challenge, hosted by KRUI, cheapseats.blogspot.com.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
NCAA tournament not faring better either.
Yeah.
But quickly, we'll jump into things
Let's
here.
Let's get into things here.
Welcome.
Welcome. Let's get into small sports action. Yeah, we'll get to men's basketball later.
You're right. And here's an announcement. University of Iowa junior Drago Sagachi competed in the NCAA championships on Friday. He competed in the 100-yard breaststroke and recorded a prelims time of 54.29 seconds and did not qualify for the finals.
Yeah, I think it's just impressive for the way we've been struggling in years past to finally be getting some people back in the NCAAs. Funny, just being down in the ITC downstairs, they have all the old, really old 70s and 80s posters, and
right.
You look at like the 75th anniversary poster, and during that era where we had every year we're winning Big Ten champions, we have at least one NCAA champions, but that's when our pool actually worked and could hold meats.
And filtered water and
exactly,
such.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So we're going to nail that. Hit that nail over and over again that need a new pool, and that's so huge for our swimming program that we're going to be getting that. So hopefully next year this time when we're going to be bringing you the show, we're going to have a lot more NCAA participants to be talking about.
Yeah, and quickly, we looked at the Director's Cup standings before we logged on air, and currently we're 47th in the country.
Yep, and we'll get to one of the reasons why we are 47th in just a minute. Let's move on. It's springtime, which means the Iowa River and rivers throughout the country have decided to thaw out, and they're now taking to them in the rowing boats as the University of Iowa rowing team has opened its spring tournament or spring season, excuse me, and they went down to Texas for the Longhorn Invitational. Both novice and the varsity teams competed in the 3-day event that included Miami, Central Florida, and Texas. All in all, we fared fairly well. It's hard to make sense of all these competitions. On day one, we had like five. Day two, we had five. I mean, there's like five competitions a day.
Right.
Iowa won the first novice eights on day one. We finished one also the first novice eights on day two. The first day, we beat it, Central Florida. Second day, beating Miami. And then on day three, we won the second team novice eights and the second team varsity eights and first team varsity eights. So a few wins sprinkled throughout the entirety of the Texas Longhorn Invitational. Not much more to say. A solid competition. We didn't get blown away by any stretch of the imagination, nor did we blow away the competition. They're coming back home to Iowa. They're going to take on Minnesota, Drake, and Creighton at the at Lake McBride in Solon, Iowa on March 31st. So they'll have their first spring home, quote-unquote,
They're taking on who again?
Minnesota, Drake, and Creighton.
Okay. So well, good luck.
A lot of Midwest teams who you wouldn't really think would have a crew/rowing team. So we'll see how that goes for them. And good luck to them as their spring season has just begun.
Creighton's a smaller school, and a lot of those smaller schools will pride themselves on the smaller sports because it's a lot economically easier for them to budget a team like that than it is to budget a football team, which Creighton does not have.
Yeah.
But moving on, talk a little bit about the famous or social golf team, as you have it, as numerous players have been being cited for alcoholic endeavors.
Was that the golfers?
Yeah.
That's right. It was. That's unfortunate.
The Iowa men's golf team defeated Stetson in an 18-hole dual meet Wednesday afternoon at Victoria Hills Golf Course in DeLand, Florida. So the Hawkeyes scored a 300 team score to beat Stetson by 10 strokes. John Feldick won the event with a score of 73, a 1-over 73. Zach Anderson tied for second with 3-over 75. So it was just a dual meet between the two clubs. Stetson, small school down in Florida. Not very impressive with this. A 300 is not going to score you very high in anything in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's my point. I think we're still feeling that social bug as we continue to play in warm weather events down
in
Florida.
And heaven, we don't drink no beer.
Yeah, and was this not... this was on March 15th, so right in the middle of wrapping up spring break. So I'm sure they were having a good old time in Florida, and they just happened to eke out a win. We'll get to some other spring break adventures.
Yeah, we're kind of hard on those golfers.
We are. We got to be hard on somebody. We tout everybody, but we'll continue to be hard on them. And
play golf.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Hit the ball.
Yeah. Hit it real well. Put some spin on it into the clown's mouth.
Yeah.
How about the lady golfers? They also continue to struggle. I'm not going to peg their troubles on social things, even though it could be. But they went down to the Lady Longhorn Invitational. And out of 15 teams, I will place 13th. That's not so hot.
No, clearly not so hot.
Yeah. The Iowa team carded a team score of 957 for a three-day total. We didn't finish anywhere near the top, as our top finisher was Carla Murrah, and she tied for 24th with an 18 over. Granted, the winner did just hit one over, 3-day total, but still, you got to get somebody in the top 15.
Yeah.
You know, let's get one person up there. Let's preface this by, ladies and gentlemen, the lady golfers would absolutely obliterate me, given that I've never played a round of golf. But I would expect that if we're going to field a collegiate varsity squad, that we're going to perform a little bit better than these guys have been in the past. As you've been saying, we've been kind of hard on these guys, but hopefully they'll be able to turn it around as their season progresses. Their next competition will be at the Anteater Invitational
Yep.
in Cota de Caza, California, March 26th through the 27th.
Nice.
Yes.
So, we move on to tennis now.
Let's move on to tennis.
Okay. Women's tennis, that is. 52nd ranked Iowa fell to 58th ranked Long Beach State on March 15th, 4-3. Iowa then fell to 5-6 on the season, including 1-0 in Big Ten play.
Before we get into the results of this, a question to pose. What's the difference between 52nd and 58th? How does the ranking system determine a difference between 52nd and 58th? It's one thing to rank 1 through 25. That makes a lot of sense. But once you get outside of the top 25 in most sports, teams are real even. You really can't pick the difference between many teams.
Oh, that's your point.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
They rank all the way down to 75. I don't understand how week in and week out you can determine the difference
There might be a lot of tennis teams, though.
Do you think it's computational? It's all computer-based?
No.
That it's very simple?
I think coaches rank the teams. Like they.
I just think
I would like to see a ballot.
I would also, because I still don't. Tell me the difference between us and them. 52nd, 58.
Well,
they beat us.
Yeah.
To spoil your liner.
Well, that's what I already said. The 52nd ranked Iowa fell to 58.
Yeah.
So you didn't spoil anything.
Okay. Excuse me.
Clearly didn't spoil anything. Let's just say Jacqueline Lee, Millie Veselinovic, and Kayla Berry all got victories for Iowa, and then Iowa lost the doubles in three straight matches.
They got themselves up in the rankings by playing real well to start, and then they've been struggling as of late. Hopefully they don't fall out of the top 75, as we've been talking about. If anybody out there knows anything about collegiate tennis rankings, you should send us an email fromthecheapseats@gmail.com and let us know what you think, because we're real interested to know. And while we're talking about rankings, the number 75 University of Iowa men's program took a little trip over spring break.
Fun.
And they went to California. But unlike the golf team, they did not let their social habits, their social going-ons, if you will, deter them in their play.
The men's team is playing very strong.
They're coming on strong. Last Thursday, March 15th, the men's team broke a three-match losing streak. Since they've been named the 75th team in the nation, they lost three in a row. And they snapped that streak, defeating Santa Barbara 5-2. In doubles competition, 28th-ranked team of Bartman Manju and JP Ritchie moved to 8-0 on the season as they continue to roll through people. They were the only doubles win, however, as UC Santa Barbara picked up the doubles point. However, everyone else won through six in singles competition other than Christian Bjerik picked up a win. Bart Van Manju, JP Ritchie, Arnold Hall, Tommy McGeorge, and Gregory Holm all getting wins. So they came to play. They went to California, and they decided, we know it's spring break. We know we're going to have a good time, but let's get some business done. And they did.
Yeah.
And that continued into Friday. As last Friday, they took on the 14th ranked UC San Diego, however, they're 14th ranked in Division II. Regardless, they defeated UC San Diego 6-3. Bart Van Manju and JP Ritchie did suffer their first doubles loss of the year.
That is disappointing.
I know.
They're probably going to drop in the rankings.
Yeah, probably to 50th or something.
Yeah, well, hey, they just lost to a Division II team.
The number 17th team, though. I assume that's also in Division II. So a solid duo for UC San Diego. However, all our double squads ended up losing. However, we swept the singles, everyone collecting victories in singles play. That moves Iowa to 6-3, and they continued play Saturday, rolling through folks, finished a perfect 3-0 on the weekend trip for spring break as they defeated Dartmouth 6-1. The JP Ritchie-Bart Van Manju duo sprung back, got a victory in doubles play, as did Bjerik and McGeorge to give Iowa the doubles point. And once again, Christian Bjerik, the only loss in singles play. Everyone else picking up victories as Iowa rolled to an easy 6-1 victory. And head coach Steve Houghton said, this is a great spring break trip for us. We haven't gone undefeated on a spring break trip in a very long time. He said he feels like things are on an upswing. And I would have to agree.
Nice.
A very big trip for them. With the win, it moves them to 7-3. They'll be in competition March 24th, so they're going to open the Big Ten season as they travel to Columbus, Ohio, to face on the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
Well, you have to like what they're doing there. Yeah. They're traveling, and they're still picking up victories.
Exactly. They lost three in a row. Maybe they got a little big-headed after being ranked 75th in the country. I would assume for the record that there are far more Division I tennis programs than there are basketball or football, I would assume. I would think you could field a tennis team a lot easier than a football or basketball team, just for the record. But regardless, they suffered three straight losses. Now they're on a three-match winning streak, so hopefully they'll be able to take that into the Big Ten season when they take Ohio State on.
So we'll get to men's gymnastics here. And then we'll do the women's side, and then we will announce NCAA champions.
So, yes.
Quickly here, the men lost to Oklahoma in men's gymnastics. Oklahoma posted a overall score of 209.8. Oklahoma posted a winning score of 220.5. Iowa posted a score of 209.8. So Iowa gets defeated rather easily by the University of Oklahoma in men's gymnastics.
Any individual winners there? In any of the individual
Yeah,
events?
Jonathan Busey was the all-around winner. Jeff Raines tied for first with Chris Brooks from Oklahoma in the floor. Curtis Kleffman won the pommel horse. And that's it.
Okay, so we had some strong individual performances, but once again, those people at the bottom matter.
Yeah,
and
you
got to bring your bottom people up to the middle to compete.
Well, just like you saw those people winning, we had those couple individual performers winning. You look at the stats there, and then we don't have anyone until like fourth, or fifth, and then Oklahoma's like, oh, I'll probably take second, third, and fourth.
Exactly. That's it. And to be honest, that's mirrored in the ladies as they also fell to Oklahoma. Iowa ranked 29th. The ladies are. And the Lady Sooners are ranked number 9. We didn't perform that well, I'll be honest.
Right.
We had a couple top finishers in every event, but for the most part, Oklahoma's real clumped around the top. So top finishers, Katie Turcotte tied for third in the vault. Katie Burke tied for fourth with Beth Dillick and others in the uneven bars. In the balance beam, Danielle Legay finished second, and that's nice. Spots 3 through 5 were all filled by Oklahoma, so that's going
right.
to hurt
well,
you.
Right, well,
exactly, you know. That's what's going to hurt you is if they're all
clumped
at the
top. We have strong couple girls and men that perform well consistent basis, but basis.
That's all right. Basis is real fun. I like that.
Yeah, that's a nice one. But, you know, you're right. You have to have those middle people
exactly.
step up.
Exactly. When Oklahoma takes the 3 through 5 spots and then you have 7, 6, 7, 8, 10, and 12, that's going to hurt you. So, regardless, Kara Pinju tied for 7th at floor exercise, top finisher for Iowa there. And our top finisher all around was 4th. So, and that's Kara Pinju there as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, next Cy-Hawk Trophy competition is gymnastics.
Yeah.
The ladies gymnastics,
they
do it twice. We had a home and away little series with gymnastics. So, they're going to take on, that's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. At Iowa State. And I believe there are 3 competitions left, if I can recall. Why don't you pull that up real quick?
Okay.
Cy-Hawk Trophies, real nice link off of the Iowa homepage. But I know we have 11 points. I believe they're sitting at 6, if I can recall. Maybe they're sitting at 4. It's 11-4, and No. Just go to Hy-Vee Seahawks series. They have a nice little... Throw Hy-Vee in there, and then you got it.
Okay.
I believe it's 11-4 regardless, with three competitions remaining, which means that if Iowa State sweeps the remainder, then the final score is going to be 11-10 Iowa, with bonus points coming yet for
so Iowa State is caught up.
No. They haven't caught up. It's 11-4 currently. I'm saying if they were to sweep the remaining events, it would still end in 11-10. So,
oh, okay.
Whatever.
Right. It's not. I've got it.
It doesn't matter. We can recap it after their event next week or tomorrow.
That's fine.
On next week's show. But as long as Iowa's athletes perform above the national average,
right,
or at least, well, if Iowa State's do and Iowa's doesn't, then there's still an outside chance that Iowa State could come back and win it. Is the final point. So
yeah, but the deal there is, look at our volleyball team, and then you look at our women's basketball team, and even
let's
the men's
be honest,
posting decent GPAs.
Let's be honest, every Iowa athletic squad is going to post very good GPAs. It's not a bash on anyone, but let's be honest. Football is going to bring you down. Football is a huge roster, so inevitably that average is going to be lower. And across the board, men's basketball has a lower GPA.
Don't you worry. We'll get to men's basketball.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
We won't even talk about Iowa. We'll talk about Big Ten.
Exactly. Nationally, you're going to see a lower GPA in basketball. Let's talk about some real positive things.
Yeah, Hawkeye junior Mark Perry won his first NCAA title Saturday night at the Palace of Auburn Hills on March 17th. Perry is our 165-pound wrestler for the University of Iowa. But interesting storyline, he beat Jeff Hendricks of Oklahoma State, who he was 0-6 against all time.
That's right.
But he was quoted in the papers as saying, "I don't care, I'm going to beat him."
Yeah, and
prior to the match.
I listened to some interviews with him overall, and to be honest, he was losing for most of this match. Very late in the last period, he's down 0-2, and then he gets... in his interview, he said, "You know, I've been trying lots of things, and they just haven't worked. And you know, all of a sudden, I found something, and it worked real well.
Yeah.
And I almost pinned him. He got 2 points for the takedown, and then he got two near fall points. Was up 4-3, and with like 6 seconds to go, isn't it an Oklahoma State player?
Yeah, it's Tommy Hendricks.
Yeah,
or Johnny Hendricks
of Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Got an escape real late to bring it to 4-3, but is just absolutely ecstatic as Perry wins the national championship, and I think that's our first since 2004. Is that correct?
Yes.
First individual, and that's huge for a program that has seen some down years of late.
Finished eighth this year in a quote-unquote rebuilding year.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think when a lot of people heard Tom Brands is coming in, they expected immediate success. That can't happen.
No.
Let's be honest.
But you got a lot of those kids that we missed out on when...
That's right. Are you talking about the Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
10 Virginia Tech people coming in. The other reason we finished eighth overall, Eric Ludke and Charlie Flack both earned All-American honors. Eric Ludke, the fifth seed, placed third as he defeated the number 8 seed in the consolation finals. Scored a takedown in the last minute to secure that win. Something else I wanted to say about Lukey before he went. Regardless, the Kansas native ends his career with a 56-19 mark, going 33-4 this year. He was absolutely rolling through people from the majority of the
clearly,
season.
So,
fantastic season for him. Falk as well. He was a fifth seed, and he placed eighth after being pinned in 2 minutes 41 seconds by the number 3 seed in the 7th place match. He finished his season with a 24-10 record and currently has a 38-21 career mark as he's just a sophomore. So we'll see some more from him. Who knows, he may not be wrestling as there's going to be some stiff competition for playing spots with those 10 players coming in next year. So a fantastic overall finish for the men's wrestling program. And that in combination with the women's indoor track season garnered us some impressive points, and as Will said, has moved us, I don't remember up or down, but has kept us in the running for the Director's Cup as we sit at 47.
Yeah, I know you're about ready to bust out a smile here. kept us in the running.
In the running, baby.
For the top 50 positioning.
That's right, and ladies and gentlemen, outdoor track season.
Little League trophy if you finish in the top 50.
I don't know, but we have a lot of programs that are up and running right now that have a chance to make a run at it. I really think the way the softball team is playing right now, we'll get to them in a little bit, they have a chance at scoring some points in the Director's Cup. Outdoor track and field, both men's and women's, are definitely going to score some points for us. So we have a lot to go. Men's basketball is not up on there, and I believe we will... I can't recall if we will place, get any points. I actually, now recalling, I don't think we will. But regardless, I think we'll finish all right as the season progresses. But like I said, outdoor track and field has begun. The men's field team, at least. You can call them track and field, but only the field sports have started up. The men track or field guys went down to... they went down to Tucson, Arizona for the Willie Williams Classic.
You got that?
Yeah, got it. Okay. Well, you're tossing papers everywhere. I'm not sure what's going on. So
everything's blamed on me.
Yeah, it is. I always blame everything on you.
Yeah.
So regardless, sophomore John Hickey and senior Adam Hamilton are the first two Hawkeyes of the year to garner some NCAA Midwest Regional qualifying marks. Hickey finished fifth in the shot put with a throw of 59.5 and a half, and Adam Hamilton finished fourth in the hammer throw with 200 feet 11 inches. Both of those times, like I said, good enough for NCAA Midwest Regional qualifying. Junior Kale Catt won the javelin competition with a throw of 196.4. And A.J. Curtis finished 13th in the discus, 144.4. So all around fantastic performance by the guys who throw things.
Yeah.
And
they've been solid all
year,
though.
We've been talking about them in the indoor season, so we'll just continue. Obviously, they don't throw the javelin indoor, so that's new to the outdoor season. But I expect good things from them to as the season progresses. As far as the field guys go, we've already talked about the tracksters and how they're real, real fast, all of them. And we'll see that in the coming weeks. As they look to begin their season, the men track and field team, their next competition is at LSU, the Tiger Relays down in Baton Rouge this weekend, Friday, Saturday. So, what about the women? They've also started their season.
Yeah, San Diego, California, for the Aztec Track Classic, San Diego State hosting that event. Hawkeye senior Becca Franklin posted a Midwest regional qualifying day mark in the hammer throw.
And we were also saying her name for the indoor shot put. Did she not also place well in the shot put?
This is day one of this Aztec Invitational. Lots of prelim scores here. So nothing really to talk about until you get to the finals.
I think this was all the field events were finals in the first day, were they not, though?
No.
No, we had it continued on the...
second day, yes.
Alrighty, so how'd the second day go?
Second day events, in the 100-meter open, Megan Clark got second, 100-meter invitational, Rhonda K. Trusty got eighth place for the Hawks, so not a good showing there.
Yeah, but that's the invite, though. You have to be invited to participate in that one, so...
Still not a good showing.
But that's still a stiff competition. What's her time versus the open winner?
Her time was 12:06,
and the
open winner's time was 12.25.
Okay, so she would have won the open
by a long stretch.
Yeah, but all the better competition would be in the invite. So I think eighth is all right.
Yeah, 200-meter open, Megan Clark third, Renee White four. The invitational 200-meter invite, Rhonda K. Trusty got fifth place. no individual, in the Invitational 1500 meter, Diana Curry won that.
Yeah, and that's also a NCAA qualifying, is it not?
Yes. With a time of 4 minutes, 20.95 seconds in the 1500.
Good Lord.
Rachel Marchand got second. Strong showing for the Hawkeyes in that race.
They always, when we're at the field house, they're 1-2. They always run together.
Yeah.
They're a fantastic little duo, and I think...
Well, we haven't been to the field house for a while.
We haven't.
Because Ryan doesn't like to physically exert his
body.
No,
I do, but I'm real busy. The fact of the matter
building
is, I think...
Building bridges in foreign countries.
Exactly. I think that Diana Curry makes Rachel Marchand a much better runner, that competition in her squad. And then Tiffany Johnson, also an NCAA qualifier.
Yes, she won the 100-meter hurdles in the Invitational race. With a time of 13.82 seconds. So, nice.
Yeah, real nice for the ladies. You're going to see lots of good stuff from them as their season continues. I'll commit to that. You're going to see real good things out of the track and
committing.
Field. Committing to that, for sure. What I'll also commit to is that this softball team is going to be lots of fun to watch.
Yeah. They're opening up this weekend.
That's right.
Along with the baseball team.
That's right.
We're going to have to try and get out to a couple of those.
We will, for sure. Let's get to what they did last weekend, though. Everyone decided to go to California.
Yeah.
The baseball
Why
team,
not?
The tennis team, the softball team, the baseball team. You know, everybody. Let's just go to California.
But why not?
Exactly. So as we said, first five weekends for the softball ladies, all on the road. This is the final of those first five, correct? We've done five of them for them now?
Yes.
So wrapping up that road trip, if you want to call it that, Emily Nichols, wow. She is hot right now. She's on fire. She belted her 29th career home run, and that ties an Iowa career home run mark. And I believe, was it last weekend she had her Big Ten career hitting mark? No, excuse me. She extended that this game. Her Big Ten career hitting mark was extended during this first game as Iowa downed BYU 4-0. Pitcher Wheel struck out a career-high 15 batters in the six-inning win. Or no, excuse me, not six-inning. That's a full game. Nichols tied that Iowa career home run mark with her eighth of the season already. So... She's hitting the ball real well right now.
Yeah, extremely well. So, what, 20-some game hitting streak?
Yeah, it's at 27, I believe, with this game.
Yeah.
And Wheel, just coming back not 2 games ago, she got 13 strikeouts against Colorado State, and she follows that up with 15 here against BYU, just doing fantastic, allowing 4 hits and 2 walked. In her first complete game and shutout of the season. So fantastic performance overall. Next day, they took on Nichols. They took on Georgia Southern, who they had already played this year in the Buzz Classic, and they defeated them 2-0. And they got the sticks out and beat them 9-0 this time in
right.
6 innings. And also beating Mercer on the day, 13-6. Junior Emily Nichols did fail to get a hit in the game against Mercer, ending her big... Oh, so it would have been 26 against BYU. So 26 games against BYU, 27 against Georgia Southern.
Right.
And it ends against Mercer. Big Ten record hitting streak of 28 games. Brittany Wheel continues to throw fantastic.
She throws real hard.
Yeah. Second consecutive shutout in game one against Georgia Southern, allowing only 3 hits and 2 walks, striking out 11. Wow. Let's be honest. There are some real dominating pitchers in softball all over. You just run into them. Every couple of teams has one pitcher that just performs absolutely fantastic.
I mean, that's their ace, and they pitch two out of the 3 games.
Exactly, and Brittany Wheel is that person for the University of Iowa. Just a fantastic hurler on the mound. So as play continued in the second day of this, what do they call it, the Capital Classic, Iowa just absolutely trouncing their opponents, out-hitting Georgia Southern 15-3. And Mercer took a 4-0 lead against Iowa in that game, too. But Iowa responded back with 6 runs and 7 hits in the second inning to perform fantastic. Ackerson picked up the win, throwing just over 6 innings in relief, 2 runs and 4 hits, striking out 6. So fantastic day. So that puts them to 3-0 for the weekend as they moved into the final day. They split the last day as they defeated Santa Clara 3-1, but lost to Cal Poly 8-3. Iowa started off taking advantage of 2 Santa Clara errors, scoring 2 of its 3 runs there. So taking advantage of the other team's mistakes, which is huge in baseball, softball, or elsewise. Those are things that you have to key in on. Ackerson came in and threw... she started. Threw just under 6 innings, allowing just 1 run and 6 hits, while striking out 5 and walking 0. And Brittany Wheel threw just over an inning in relief and struck out 4. So right. I would assume just over an inning would be 4 outs. So putting out all 4 of her outs with strikeouts. Fantastic performance. And in the second game against Cal Poly, Wheel threw 4 innings in her first loss of the inning. She allowed 7 runs on 7 hits and struck out 2. And Ackerson threw 2 innings in relief, allowing 1 run. So overall, they go 4-1 on the weekend. I think they're playing magnificently thus far on the season. And I totally agree. This is a program you need to get out and see. I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think you're going to see the Big Ten get a big surprises. Iowa's going to make another push for it this year.
I don't know. I'm not going to commit to anything yet.
I'd say we're definitely going to be at the top half of the Big Ten. Without a doubt, we're going to finish in the top half of the Big Ten.
There's some tough teams in the Big Ten. Right?
I agree, but I think it's real top heavy.
Michigan State.
Northwestern's very good. Northwestern surprised a lot of people last year, and they're the team to beat this year.
Yep.
And I would say once you fall out of those top 2-3 spots, it's all wide open from there. So I think just like the volleyball team was doing early, we're going to make a lot of teams nervous.
Well, can we convert them?
That's a big question versus the as opposed to the volleyball team. I think we will be able to convert. But without a doubt, we're going to make a lot of programs nervous this year. And that should make for some exciting games. On the other dirt field, we have the baseball program, and they're also making people nervous as they're starting to play real well.
Yeah. March 17th, they played Fresno State in the Pepsi Johnny Quick Classic, and the Hawkeyes
also
won.
In California. They just everyone.
Well, yeah, it's in
California.
Fresno. Yeah, they beat the Bulldogs 10-8, improving to 5-4. 10-8. Nice high scoring baseball game.
Yeah, it continues to get even better. Fantastic performances all around that first game. Mike Jacobs getting the win, his first on the year.
Yeah. Prior to that, on the March 16th.
No, you got them out of order. Way to go.
Yeah. On March 16th, they also beat Dallas Baptist in a 10-inning game, 17-13. Then they came back and beat Fresno.
Yeah. A 10-inning game. Yes. For the record, they play 7. They play 7 regulation innings. So a 10-inning game.
College baseball plays 7? I thought college baseball played 9.
Okay, they do play 9. I'm confused.
It's softball.
Yes. Yeah, I'm
confused. You always confuse that.
I do all the time. Yeah, so that's an overtime thriller regardless. Iowa putting on 4 runs in the extra frame. To get the easy winning.
Yeah, but the funny thing is here, and I'm sure they beat Fresno State at night, but in the morning on the 17th, they got completely smashed by Dallas Baptist 18-5.
Yeah, well, so you can't win them all, but that puts them...
They did beat Fresno State, and then they did play Dallas Baptist later in the day and lost to them 18-5.
Yeah.
So there's our complete rundown.
Yeah, and that puts them at 2-2 on the weekend.
Yeah, 5-5 on the year. So decent tournament for the Hawks. Young team, but a notable here. University of Iowa shortstop Jason White was named defensive player of the tournament for the Pepsi Johnny Quick Classic. So interesting note there. Iowa, Fresno State, and Dallas Baptist all ended the tournament with a 2-2 record. The Bulldogs are in the title, having allowed the least runs during tournament play. Nice yep. tiebreaker.
That's always the tiebreaker.
That's a horrible
that's always,
tiebreaker.
That's always been the tiebreaker. Every baseball tournament I've ever been to, whoever allows the least runs.
Horrible tiebreaker. Well,
clearly, they're not going to win. I mean, they're tied, all of them. You'd go to head-to-head record, but that's clearly tied first. So the next on the list is runs allowed.
How about most runs scored?
No. That's what? Next. That's after runs allowed. Defense wins championships, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay,
so
fine.
Congratulations to Jason White and his MVP honors. Before we get to the fiasco that's men's basketball, let's touch on women's basketball for a second. Some say Lisa Bluter's job is in question, and I laugh at that. Your comments.
Who's telling you this?
There are rumors. Let's be honest. The media likes to start a lot of rumors.
Where did you hear this from?
I've heard multiple sources. Press Citizen, Daily Iowan. I've seen a couple national reports. May be under the
first
hot
of all,
seat.
First but of that's, all,
it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is it's ludicrous.
She is a nucleus of all sophomores. Everyone returns.
And the reason I want to bring this up is she had a very tough year this year, but... next year is a very crucial year. You and I have always been critical of Sean Keeler and his articles in the Des Moines Register.
Right.
An article that I'd love to bring up, that was a fascinating point. Next year, ladies and gentlemen, first and second rounds are in Des Moines. The Wells Fargo Arena will
crucial
be hosting.
Crucial year!
If Des Moines, not only is this crucial for Iowa, if Des Moines decides we want to be a major player in some small market sporting events, this is a test. If we do well, we could be looking at maybe an invite to the NCAA Wrestling Championships. If we host this well, that could be in the mix for us if things go
possibly,
well next year.
Possibly, some sort of first or second round game in the men's tournament.
But
I think the first
thing is...
That's later on the road, though. Right,
exactly. I think first, Iowa State is the host team. So...
Why not publicly,
they have came out and said, well, it's Iowa State. And they have publicly come out and said that they do want a regional team to play. As always, you can't play in your home. If you're hosting, you can't play there.
Right, so Iowa State
out
the window.
I do know that's true for men. I don't
know
that that's
true.
Okay, so that means that Northern Iowa, Drake, and Iowa have a fantastic opportunity to bolster the
Drake's
state of
horrible,
Iowa.
First of all. Basketball.
For the women's side.
Yes. UNI's shabby.
But you never
so
know.
The door's
Drake,
open for
you know,
Iowa
still,
to get...
Drake did make the tournament. They had a horrible performance against the Tennessee Lady Vols as they got clobbered. Regardless, they were the 16 seed in the tournament.
Yeah, because they won their conference tournament.
Right. Regardless. But if they're at home at Wells Fargo Arena, maybe that game turns out different. Regardless...
What?
The fact of the matter is, you have to have one of those teams playing. That way, we get good attendance. Because
did you
if
just say that if it was at Wells Fargo,
no,
they could have been closer between Tennessee and Drake.
Yeah, it could have been closer. I'm not saying they're going to win.
No, no.
Yeah, it could have been closer.
No, they can't guard a single person on Tennessee's roster.
Yeah, regardless, I'm just saying maybe things would have been closer.
And the game was in Minnesota.
Drake fans aren't going to Drake women's fans aren't going to travel that far.
Tennessee women's fans?
They will. They're all over the country. Don't deny the fact.
What makes you think that they wouldn't be in Des Moines in droves?
Tennessee fans?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to be outnumbered. Clearly, you're in their home turf. You're in Drake's home turf. Regardless, let's throw this out of the discussion. My point is that if Drake's there, attendance is going to be good because that's a key factor. If attendance is good, then that opens the door for the NCAA wrestling.
Right.
And if that goes well, which I guarantee, if we landed that, if we were available to get that, that's going to go well. And then you possibly open the door to first and second round men's events, which is unlikely because I don't think that holds enough for them. So regardless, that's crucial for them. We can throw the rumors of Lisa Bluter not coming back next year out the window. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. She has a good thing going.
Calling KRUI right now, make sure you email us at...
We're not going to answer the phones right now. We don't take commercial breaks to answer the phones. We're not allowed to take live callers, so I'll apologize to whoever's calling.
Yeah, from thecheapseats@gmail.com, that's our email address.
Yeah, why don't you check that? Maybe they emailed us as
from
well.
From thecheapseats@gmail.com.
Okay,
now,
so
let's
10
start.
Minutes to go.
Yep.
Let's get the the fiasco over with. We will do a schedule overview in the final seconds of the show, but for those of you who have been stuck under a rock and under college basketball fans, lots of things are going on today. The big one, I think the biggest news of the day, is Tubby Smith decided, I don't care what my critics say in Kentucky anymore. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm taking the Minnesota opening.
Now, I think he cared because he left on his own terms, and that's what he needed to do.
Exactly. I think this was a perfect way for him to leave.
So quickly, Minnesota chose not to re-sign Jim Molinari, the interim head coach for the University of Minnesota, and decided out of the blue to hire Tubby Smith.
Well, out of the blue to most people, because they didn't assume Tubby would just up and leave like this. They thought maybe that something would be coming up. I think it's also out of the blue because our boy Steve Alford has been dominating the headlines and his quest to take over New Mexico. I think that has a large factor to do with the fact that no one saw this coming. This really wasn't in the headlines. Steve's been taking those over as far as the coaching carousel goes.
Yes, and here, most notably, Steve Alford leaves Iowa, goes to New Mexico.
Which I want to say on air that's not official yet. You can say that it is, but if you preface any statement with "sources say," then it's not official. I can guarantee that it's still going to happen, but it's technically not official yet. For all of you out there listening, that's my point of view on the subject.
Okay.
If you put "sources say,"
that's fine.
But until Gary Barta makes it official, or the New Mexico AD makes it official, or there's a press conference, it's technically not official yet.
Okay. Well, let's talk about possible replacements.
Okay.
For a theoretical possible replacement.
Yeah.
Steve Alford. Your list. And please try and say someone.
Okay, well, let's run
we've
down.
I've already prefaced Lon Kruger of UNLV. He was my number one guy.
I think if we're going to talk about the choices that's available, quote unquote, because he's technically not available. He has a good job right now.
Everyone is available. You can request to talk to anyone you want.
As long as you can request, yes. Whether you can be granted. But I think he's not available, is my point. I think he's got a good thing in UNLV. I don't know why he would want to leave. He's got a couple good recruits going on there.
I can tell you why he'd like to leave.
Okay, why don't you give your opinion?
His son is graduating.
I don't think that's enough.
He leads this team to the Sweet 16. And quite frankly, the players that he's recruiting right now is not going to be able to lead him anywhere past the Sweet 16.
But who else is his competition in his conference?
In the Mountain West, Air Force.
And they're a fantastic program, but I can almost guarantee they're losing their head coach. He's moving up.
Okay.
And Air Force is a fantastic program.
San Diego State. Steve Fisher always brings
Listen, you're talking about some quality programs, but... That's a real top heavy. You're talking
they
about
didn't
three,
even,
t-
UNLV
three teams.
UNLV didn't even win the regular season tournament. Or the regular season. Excuse me. They won the conference tournament, but they did not win the regular season.
But you're talking about three teams at the top, and that's about it. It trickles
BYU,
off real fast.
BYU, 8th seed this year in the tournament. There are teams in the Mountain West. The Mountain West is a power conference. Utah is a good school.
They're a good school. They're having a down year. They are a good school. They have a coach opening, and we'll see how that ends up for them. But the point of the matter is, I think he's got his family has a nice little spot picked out there.
The money talks. That's all I'm going to say.
Agreed. Without a doubt, if Iowa throws down enough money, I think he is the lead candidate. In my book, if we're going to take anyone in the country, he's my pick. I think we pick him over Dana Altman, who has an even better situation in Creighton. I don't know why he would ever want to leave.
Right.
I think you agree with me on that one for sure.
Yeah.
I think he's got a great thing going there.
Right. Why would you want to leave a setting where people absolutely gush over you for bringing in three-star athletes and come to Iowa where people are going to hate on you for bringing in three-star athletes? And I'd like to preface this again with a Steve Alford comment that I made. Discussion as well about this whole scenario. People did not like the fact that Steve Alford wasn't having winning records or whatnot. as he was as he was at Iowa in the Big Ten. But let's talk about Kirk Ferentz's first 5 or 6 years at Iowa.
Exactly.
Not winning records, not nearly close to winning records. And people want to say, well, he didn't have a lot to work with. Well, neither did Alford, because Tom Davis knew he was getting pushed aside. Why are you going to recruit for a program who's not showing you any sort of respect?
Now, you know the opposition is going to say, however, Kirk Ferentz did produce some results.
He produced results after 5 years.
We're in the seventh season.
We were in the eighth year, and we've gone to the tournament the past three years.
It's not the past 3 years. He's gone three times in his career.
Excuse me, the past two years before, and then 2001.
Right.
And,
so, I mean...
And we win Big Ten tournaments.
The point is, I'm just bringing up that point. I'm with you. I think it's unfortunate what's happened to Alford. People may not want to say it, but he's being shoved out the door. Not by our administration.
By the media.
By the media, by the public. And I can understand people see him personally, on a personal level, as being a little abrasive.
And then they say...
And his personal opinion, he wants too big of a deal on a car here locally, or they want him to donate too much to the program. Regardless, it doesn't matter what he's like as a person. I think he got the results he needed to out of this team. And you can't blame Pierre Pierce solely on him.
Second of all, that
can lie a lot on Bob Bowlesby as well.
Well, second of all, I want to also say, weren't we picked to finish ninth in the Big Ten this year?
Yeah.
And we finished fourth. When's the last time the football team finished fourth or higher in the Big Ten? Not since 2004. No one's talking about firing Kirk Ferentz.
No. He's a god on campus.
Oh, well, and we aren't supposed to be good in football the past couple years, but we still won games. Well, we weren't supposed to be good this year, and we still won games.
Yes. And it's obvious people are wanting that end product, the wins in the Big Ten tournament, getting in and winning in the NCAA tournament. But I just don't know. The reason we pushed him out the door as a public and as the media, we haven't
won a bowl game for 2 years either, but no one's pushing Ferentz out the door.
Exactly. He's not Ferentz, ladies and gentlemen. And let's be honest, we're a football school. And yep. That's part of the reason why he left.
So just like Kansas State did 1 year ago, let's bring in a big-time coach at a football school. And we aren't even that good in football.
No, we're not. People like to think that we are.
Get your heads out of the sky and the clouds here, and bring it down to
reality. And as Will and I predicted, late spring, early summer, we were going to be better at basketball this year. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to admit it or not, we were. We had a better record, and I think we finished overall in a better situation.
Three games above 500, and we did lose in the Big Ten tournament first round. Did not make a postseason, but quite frankly, our football team shouldn't have made a bowl game.
Exactly. So we can talk about this all we want. The coaching carousel, I think, has begun to spin, and we'll go round and round for the weeks to come. Some notables here. Obviously, we talked about Tubby Smith leaving Kentucky
to
Minnesota. So that's a huge opening. Tom Izzo's name is getting thrown around for that job, which would then leave Michigan State open and whoever, you know.
Michigan
continues
is
to go round
currently
and round.
Open right now.
Yeah, Michigan's open. There's lots of names being thrown around for that.
Yeah.
One name that's being thrown around for that and for Iowa is Washington State coach Tony Bennett.
Who just took over
for his father. Over there in Washington
State.
Yeah,
he's not leaving unless he gets tossed a hefty contract.
Yeah, and it has to be real hefty. And from what I've heard, little sprinklings in the media, is that Barta is willing to spend money.
Yeah.
Is willing to spend money to get wins.
Yeah, he wants to win basketball games. And you hire a coach that can recruit players at a high level. And we will see what happens here for the basketball team. It'll be interesting to see, too, when the new coach comes in, if he changes the name of the student section.
That's interesting. And I'll be honest, something needs to happen. There needs to be a single solidary event that happens that solidifies this rather broken student section. We need to come up with a real good solution, because I really don't like the way things are currently. Ideally, I'd love to see something where we're all around the bottom seats. That'd be fantastic. I doubt that would ever happen. You're taking away season ticket holders. The other thing, I don't know that many people know this, but at a lot of universities...
season tickets for students are free.
Exactly. You have a lottery that you enter to win student student season tickets, and even then, their general admission, people are camping out overnight, and that just doesn't happen here. Instead, we're having all-nighters for football games, where you start drinking at 6 o'clock
and at night. And don't make it past halftime.
And you don't even sleep the night, and you decide, oh, I'll go check out the first quarter. That's the extent of our student fan base, in my opinion. I was really embarrassed as we went to the Big Ten tournament and was thoroughly impressed with all the other universities, namely Wisconsin. Got to give a shout-out to their band. You are fantastic.
Yeah, phenomenal.
You have incredibly creative cheers.
Yep. Ohio State's band even brought their Witness t-shirts for Greg Oden's
exactly.
year.
And to be honest, I was rather embarrassed because wow, they have fantastic student sections. Illinois is another one.
That's a home game for them. So.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that their cheers
Michigan
are far more creative
State.
Than anything I've heard while I've been here at Iowa. So
right.
Let's wrap this up. There will be more to come on this. Do we want to give some scores quick on NCAA games going on right now?
We
got two games going on, one in the South and one in the West region,
that's right.
I believe.
We actually currently have right now... Texas A&M. No, excuse me. Hold on one second.
They're the later game, I think.
Yeah, they are the later game with Ohio State. Okay, right now, Kansas with, halftime right now, I believe. Kansas down is up 3, 27-24 over Southern Illinois. The Salukis looking to make an Elite Eight appearance. And Texas A&M losing by 4 to Memphis, yeah. And Chris Douglas Roberts is playing in that game after hurting himself in the last game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's enough on the college basketball escapade. There will probably be lots more updates by next week. I'm sure everything's going to be a little bit more official and not just sources say by then. Who knows? Maybe
might even have a new head coach.
Exactly. If things go crazy, and before next week's show here, 6-7 next week. Only on Carry UI. Maybe we'll get a podcast up on the website, which you definitely need to check out the website. Let me plug that one more time. Carry UI, cheapseats.blogspot.com. Email us with your coaching opinions from the cheapseats at gmail.com. If Alford's out, which granted he is, even though sources say, to me that's still theoretical. I'll be done with that. I'm not saying that anymore. Who do you think should be our next head coach? Email us from thecheapseats at gmail.com.
Yeah, and I'm going to toss this name out really quick. Chris Lowry, Southern Illinois. The Big Ten has had a great track record with not only Southern Illinois coaches, but coaches from the Missouri Valley. Bruce Weber, former Southern Illinois coach, now the head coach of Illinois. Matt Painter, the former Southern Illinois head coach, now the head coach of Purdue. I think that would fit as well. Chris Lowry, the new head coach at the University of Iowa. Hopefully, if Southern Illinois loses tonight, then we can get talks going with Chris Lowry. But for right now, everything will be deceased on basketball talks until we meet again next Thursday. Quickly, the schedule overview. Tomorrow, baseball, women's tennis, and softball, all here at the University of Iowa. Make sure you can check those out. Baseball's taking on North Dakota State. Women's tennis against Indiana. Softball against South Dakota State. The women's gymnastics team takes on Iowa State in Ames at 7 p.m. and the men's golf is in Greenville, South Carolina, taking on Furman and everyone else in the Furman Invitational. Saturday, March 24th, the men's tennis team takes on Ohio State in Columbus. Softball, baseball, both have games in Iowa City. Softball is a doubleheader. First pitch starts at 12:30. Baseball has a single game. First pitch starts at 1. Men's golf, once again, in Furman for the Invitational. On Sunday, women's tennis is at home against Ohio State. Baseball, 1 p.m. Opening pitch against North Dakota State. Softball, 4 p.m. opening pitch against Northern Illinois. And then Monday, women's golf is in Cota de Casa, and Tuesday as well. And then Wednesday, the baseball team takes on Illinois State in Bloomington, Illinois. Softball's against Northern Illinois in DeKalb. And then women's track in the Stanford Invitational in Palo Alto on Thursday, the 29th. For my co-host Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchineau, and this has been yet another fun evening here inside KRUI, wrapping up yet again another tumultuous day in Iowa City. Have a great evening.